Pastor Kerry started us on our series last week, On Purpose, Living Your Life on Purpose. How many know you have a purpose? Well, I tell you what, when they turn those lights on, y'all look amazing. Amen. Look around. This is the best looking group of people in the whole city of Grand Rapids. Amen. Look at that. Amen. Good to see y'all. Y'all blessing me. Hope I'm blessing you. Amen. All right. Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. Amen. I want you to turn with me now to our second teaching, but I want you to turn to this one verse of scripture that the Holy Spirit gave to the Apostle Paul, Ephesians 2:10. And it says, we are his workmanship. So he's working something. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. You are a workmanship created for good works, young lady. Senior citizen, brother, God prepared them beforehand that you would walk in them. You are his workmanship. How many have ever seen, how many have ever heard somebody say, that dude is a piece of work? How many have ever heard that before? Let me tell you, God intentionally and delicately crafted you. Get this. You have been delicately crafted by God with intention. You have been. He gave you the personality you have. He gave you the looks you have. Now you have to steward them. And all the sisters go, yes, yes. You have to steward them. There are certain passions you have about things. Some of those passions are for a season. Some of them are lifetime passions and callings. You have to discern the difference between the two. One of the teachings, I'm going to show you the difference between a burden and a call. And some of you confused a burden into your call and you're getting off track. I'll help you with that later. So stick around one Sunday. Don't miss that Sunday. I don't know which one it is. You just have to guess. He gave you certain skills. He gave you certain dreams. All those dreams belong, and he wants you to fulfill your purpose in life. There are things you do that fulfill that purpose. Don't make what you do your purpose. He's given you skills and abilities, passions to fulfill an ultimate purpose. So my problem is with me is that I forfeit my purpose because I get frustrated and I forget who I am. So yes, part of this is true, but I want you to know this part is all true. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, you're a piece of workmanship. Tell him that, amen. Say, you're a piece of workmanship, and you can be seated. You'll love it in just a moment. Don't forfeit your workmanship, amen. It's good. It's all good. I promise it's all good, everybody. So what would make Sam Reifkogel forfeit the ultimate purpose God has? Sir, I know that plumbing is what you do, and it fulfills part of the purpose. But you have brought your whole lifetime nothing but a contractor. I just push paper around here. All I do is I put this one component and this one piece on the assembly line. That's it. You're confusing what you do with your ultimate purpose. I like what Pastor Kerry said last week. I love what he said, that your job may not necessarily be your purpose. It can glorify God as part of that purpose. But if you don't get this, that who you are and how you were created, you will forfeit your life. It may be the reason things are unraveling in your life. You have no peace. You're always picking on your body. You're always picking on your job. You're always picking on what's happening in your life. And it may be related to you do not understand that you're a piece of workmanship. Workmanship. So you kind of get confused with that word because everybody goes, you're a piece of work. But here's what I want you to grab, three things today, that you will understand your workmanship. You are his workmanship. Is the first thing I want you to discover is you need to know your worth. Know your worth. You are valuable. You got to know your worth. Now look what he says. He says, we are his workmanship. That word workmanship, if you look at it in the Greek, and so many that are students of the word, this would be elementary to you. But for those of you who have never broken down and looked at it in the Greek, you see workmanship, you're just going, okay, I'm a piece of work. But it is actually the Greek word poema, which is where you get the word poem. But really, if you break that down, really, that poem was really talking about, it's like a literary work that is a masterpiece. It is a one of a kind. You can't plagiarize it. It's done by one creator. It is uniquely by that one creator. You can't redo it. It is simply the perfect thing that has been given by a creator. So really, when I say you're a piece of workmanship, you ought to be saying you're a masterpiece. You're a masterpiece. It's like a poem. It can't be duplicated. It can be repeated, but it can't be duplicated. You know who wrote that. It's like a painting. There may be knockoffs of it, but you know the creator that made the original. That means there's not another one. It's like a piece of music. You know, somebody could do a remix of it, but you know who really wrote that song. And you say, you got to hear the way it was really intended when they first wrote this song. You know, you understand what I'm talking about? I mean, so what he's saying is, if you want to say you're one of a kind, you are one of a kind. You're rare. There is no duplicate of Sam Reifkogel. There was not an amen. I thank God for that. Amen. There are no replicas. So I don't care what kind of mumbo jumbo garbage someone who acts like they're enlightened has shoved down your spiritual gullet, that somehow you were just created on an assembly line as a random object. You are not. That's the reason why we don't treat human life sacred, is because we believed and sucked into that garbage. So I'm here to announce to you and anybody that'll listen to me, you are a masterpiece. You must know your worth. Now, you might have a nose like mine. You might have fingers like mine, but you were fearfully and wonderfully created, made by God. I don't know why people just think that, oh, I just exist. You got to stop that. Just, you're going home to your apartment, going to your trailer house, going to your home. Nobody knows. I'm just here all by myself. No. Listen, God has creatively, fearfully, wonderfully made you. Think about this. You've heard me say this, man. Not one snowflake that has fallen out of the Michigan skies, and there's a bunch of them, is never the same pattern. Not one grain of sand on all the beaches around this world is the same shape. Look at your thumb, for crying out loud. Look at your thumb. Just take a look at that thumb. Look at your thumb for a moment. Look at that big, just lumpy old thumb. Do you know that we can identify you because there's no one in the entire universe that has that print or that image? Out of all the people that have ever been born, existed, died on this earth, has that thumbprint. God so uniquely made your thumbprint. Now, let me just say something. If God spends that kind of time on a thumb, if he takes that time on a piece of sand that irritates you, if not one flake, come on, one snowflake is not the same pattern. If God's going to spend that much time on a flake, don't you think he's going to spend just a little bit more time on a masterpiece like you? I am telling you that you were created with your skill sets, with your passions, with your looks, with your personality. God fearfully, wonderfully made you. Stop letting Satan dumb you down. Know who you are in Jesus Christ. In fact, when God made you, he made your face, made your personality. And when he got done creating you, uniquely you, and nobody's like you, he took one step back, looked at you, tilted his head and said, I'll never do that again. And he didn't. You're it. You're the only one. You are rare and you are valuable. You are rare and you are valuable. I want you to say it. Say, I am rare and I am valuable. I am rare and I am valuable. Say it again. I am rare and I am valuable. You need to know that kind of stuff when you sit there and you see a government that sees you just as a serial number or a social security number. They don't want your name, they want your number. But Jesus says, when I created you, I created everything you are. I wrote your name, not your number, in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know you by name. You are fearfully and wonderfully made by me. I am rare and I am valuable. And I'm going to tell you something. If you don't believe that, you'll just start thinking and sucking to the agenda of this world that you just exist. You're just here to live and die. There's nothing else left after this. I want you to hear what the psalmist said. Look at this. Here's what some of you need to start doing, okay? I was looking at this and I thought, oh, Lord, I'm going to start doing this. I know people are going to think this is kind of arrogant, but I'm going to do this. Look what the psalmist said in Psalm 139 as he's talking to the Lord. He says, I will give thanks to you. To who? To God. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul, that means my mind, my will, and my emotions, know it very well. Not only do I know it spiritually, but my mind, my thoughts, and my will knows that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And so here's what I'm going to do, Lord. I'm going to thank you for the way I am. So yesterday, when I was in my prayer time, I started praising the Lord for Sam Reifkogel. I started praising God for my quirky things I do. I started praising God for what he allows me to do that helps fulfill part of that purpose in life. Sometimes what you ought to do, instead of looking at your body in the mirror, ma'am, and get all discouraged, and you start looking through some Cosmo magazine saying, why can't I look like her? And why can't I be like them? Why don't you burn that magazine and start praising God? Thank you, God, for the body you gave me, for the temple you gave me. Thank you for the personality. Thank you. Listen, and when you turn 60 and get wrinkles, just look there and go, God, thank you for the wrinkles, God. Thank you for the gray hair. I'm telling you, Lord, I feel smarter since I turned Sam 6.0. The upgrades are great, God. I love you for it. God, I seem wiser, smarter. Come on, start praising God for who you are. He said, I thank you, God, for me. There's nothing wrong. Thank God for you. You praise God for a song. You praise God for talent just a moment ago. You were clapping all over the place. Why don't you just start praising God for you right now and just clap your hands and just get happy. Lord, I thank you for me. I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to start doing this. Because I'm going to tell you what it is. When you start knowing that truth that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and now your mind, your thinking, your thoughts, you quit going in depression over who you are, and your mind, your psuche, your mind, will, emotions start getting that, this will free you from trying to stop being like everybody else. I admire great preachers, but I'm going to quit trying to be Bishop Jakes. I can't do it. I'm not going to be Steve Furtick for you. I don't have the muscles, the guns to do it either. Seriously, when you get this, you are going to be so comfortable in the calling you have. Whether you're a bus driver, whether you're a DJ, whether you're a plumber or an attorney, whatever you do, you'll start realizing, I don't have to be anybody else. I thank you for me, God, my skills, my calling, my personality. And maybe you don't feel like you're smart enough. Maybe you don't feel like you're skilled enough. Maybe you don't feel like you're fast enough, or you're strong enough, or you're bright enough. But let me show you, if you'll read this scripture, when people start getting comfortable with who they were in God, let me show you what God does so many times in the scripture, all the time. He so many times uses the weaker and the less likely people to accomplish the greatest things. You know why he does that? Because he's sick and tired of everybody taking the glory when something's achieved and say, yes, it was my hard work and my skill and my ability. He knows that when he uses somebody that's not smart enough, not bright enough, not strong enough, not quick enough, and something is accomplished to them, they're going to go, listen, I've heard my preaching, and that's totally God and not me. I've seen my ability, and that's totally God, and he gets the glory. Come on, folks. So I don't know who I'm talking to today. I don't know which, and listen, I'm telling you, I've watched seasoned believers get sucked into this. Because how they perform spiritually with rituals of religion determines their value to God. I showed up to church this morning, da da da, and those are all great things. But they start measuring who their worth is determined by their spiritual religious performance. Sometimes we can be the strongest, smartest people and lose our worth. So I got a word for you. Stop letting the devil make your brain and your psyche and your emotions. Stop letting him be in a dumping ground on you. He's using too many of us as a doormat to wipe our feet on when we don't perform like other people. We're not doing what other people are doing. And he uses us as a doormat, talks about our past, and keeps wiping his feet of yesterday on us. Well, you remember this? What makes you think you can get here and praise God? Well, wait till everybody finds about this and just use us. I'm going to tell you something, friends. I'm going to stop dwelling on what Satan says to me, and I'm certainly going to stop dwelling on what people say or think about me. I'm going to hear what God has to say. Amen? And I'm serious. I'm gonna hit it again. Young people, don't you suck into the damnable lie that somehow you came out of some primordial soup and you evolved into who you are today. Your cousin's down at the zoo swinging from a rope, and it's from goo to you by way of the zoo. Listen, you got to have a lot of faith to believe that kind of stuff. You got to have more faith to believe that. I'm going to tell you something. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, created by God Almighty, and God says you are a masterpiece. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and he says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. It's a plan to prosper you, not to harm you. Come on, to give you a hope and a future. Thank God you have value from God. You need this today. Know who you are in Jesus Christ. Say it with me. Say, I am rare and I am valuable. Because I'm going to tell you something. Some of us go into retirement and you sit around and start collecting dust. I've watched it. I've watched good spirit-filled, tongue-talking believers just shrivel up. Stop being involved in ministry, stop being involved in giving, stop being involved in volunteering and pour themselves in other people's lives because their work and their job became their purpose and they forgot their worth. I was with my 91-year-old mama. Boy, I tell you what, sitting down with her, just, mom, she gets these videos. She's not real tech savvy, so she gets DVDs. Or maybe it's VHSs. I don't know. I don't know what she gets. She told me the other day, 91, getting ready to turn 91. She said, Sam, I can't believe all the new things I'm still learning. 91. The new things I'm learning about God and about myself. 91. Had her playing marbles the other day. Can I just tell you all this? Y'all got time? So we're playing marbles. She loves this marble game. Since I was a kid, she loved this marble game. And she's so competitive. Listen, when you're 91, it gets worse. So her great-granddaughter, Gracie, I think Gracie's what, 7 or 8 maybe? 9 maybe? And she was sitting there playing marbles. Well, Gracie's beating her. And beating us. She's winning this game. And I could tell great grandma is having a real problem with this. It was so funny. You ought to see the video. Sarah captured it. It was hilarious. Next morning, I sat with mom. I said, Mom, I just want to tell you the favor of God on your life. She still has significance and purpose, 91. She can't move as much anymore. Lots of pain. She's never losing her value. She's playing marbles with her great-granddaughter. I said, Mom, do you know the favor of God on you at 91 years age that you had the ability to play marbles with your 9-year-old granddaughter and your 9-year-old granddaughter is laughing with you and your 9-year-old daughter, great-granddaughter is going to have the memory of playing marbles with her 91-year-old great-grandmother. And I said, and the blessing on top of this is at 91 years of age, you still have the marbles to know you're playing marbles with your 9-year-old great-granddaughter. She said, Sam, I never thought about that. I said, let me tell you how many people never get to do that. And your granddaughter will never have the memory, but she's got it. Live your life with purpose and value. I don't care if you say, I don't feel like I have any purpose. Until you suck in your last breath, you are not in retirement. You are not unemployed. You are a vessel of the Most High God. You have a plan and a purpose to fulfill. You got to know your value and know your worth in Jesus Christ. Woo! I mean, glad you came to church today. Amen. I'm glad I came. Amen. Know your worth. Secondly, number two, you got to know your why. You got to know your why. What's your why? Why do you exist? Why? Now, some of the part of the why is what you do that God puts in you, skills and talents to fulfill the purpose. Don't make what you do your purpose. But listen closely. There are things God shows you of displaying his glory that you do to fulfill that purpose. So here's the deal. You weren't born knowing your purpose. You must discover your purpose. Nobody knows it. It unrolls. It slowly unrolls. There's events. There are things that happen, conversations. It's not a second. It's a lifetime. And here's what I've discovered about God. God, when he starts wanting me to fulfill a purpose and then has me do something in order to help be a part of that purpose, what I've always noticed God does is he works from the end and he goes back to the beginning. We want, okay, what do I do now? But he starts with the end and then works his way to the beginning. Let me show you scripture. Go to Isaiah 46 and verse 9. Isaiah 46, 9 says, remember the things I have done in the past, for I alone am God. I am God, and there is none like me. Verse 10, only I can tell you the future before it happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. That's God speaking. But he says, I can tell you the future before it even happens. This is kind of like it's kind of like our life. You know, I don't know if any of you have ever built a house or watched people build a house, but the carpenter, you know, when he builds a house, he doesn't start with nails and boards and just starts hammering and says, let's see how this will turn out. Now, I know some of you ladies, your husbands have done that, and you're going, call the professionals. I know you stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night, but call a professional. But they don't just start doing that. What do they do? Any carpenter will find a designer to determine what the house should look like. And that designer and that creator is so brilliant and smart, they know the stress loads of what the wood can take. They can tell you how much concrete for the foundation. They'll tell you how deep the footings need to go so that it doesn't collapse once everything looks pretty. See, the problem is too many people don't go to the designer who's already determined it. And they start taking like a carpenter, not consulting a creator, and say, I'll build this on my own. And then they get what they want, looks pretty, and it collapses, but they didn't follow the designer to determine how this needs to be made. And it may not show up until they're 33. They may finally get married. It might show up when they're 56 or 69. But finally, it collapses because they never consulted the designer. Friends, listen to me. God gives the end result, and then he strengthens that person to start walking in it and discover what they should do in order to show the glory of God that it stands. I'm going to just talk my life. You know, people see me in ministry here today, and here I am. But I'll tell you, you know, 17 years of age is when I knew God called me to be in the full-time ministry. 17 years of age. I didn't know how it was going to happen. I had no idea. I didn't see Grand Rapids first. I remember sitting in church one time, just prayer and intercession. I saw the sea of faces, and I just felt this strong impression of the voice of God. Strong impression said, Sam, you're going to preach the gospel and bring people to me. I didn't know what that meant. I thought, oh, okay, so I'll go rent the local football stadium and they'll all come. No, guess where I found myself? I found myself in a retirement home at 17 years of age with a bunch of senior citizens that slept all the way through my message. And I went every Sunday. I had other young people along with me that said, I got a call to the ministry too, but they dropped out in 2 weeks. And God wanted to see my faithfulness at 17 years of age. Would you go there every single day to preach the gospel to a bunch of people? Most of them aren't listening to you. And will you minister the gospel? Because there are so many of them that don't know Jesus Christ. I didn't know where it would take me. I didn't know that my first revival meeting, get this, I showed up, Pastor said, yeah, Sam, we'd love to have you preach. I show up to preach. Only four people show up, oh, five including me. We're in an auditorium, and there's four people. Yeah, they were coming in by the droves. Two more drove in. It was a beautiful thing. But God started unveiling those little things of obedience.
just starting to speak at a small group. What is it for you? Maybe God's called you to be a carpenter, but have you given yourself to an apprentice to learn how to just sweep the floor and say, what can I do? What can I do? Can I sweep the floor just to learn? What have you learned? Just give yourself Easter. He gives you the end, but he expects you to, he gives you the strength to start seeing unfold. Moses, he tells Moses, Moses, you're going to take my people and deliver them from Israel. But it was Moses' responsibility to take each step to finally get to that place where he's in front of Pharaoh. Nehemiah was told to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. But you know what he had to do? God gave him the strength to have a simple conversation with a king who had he and his people in captivity to have a conversation with them. Then God started giving him organizational structure, and he started talking to people who had the ability to smart and put him in the right place. He needed to have conversations. This is what I'm saying. So many people say, I have this big vision from God, but then you don't take the strength he gives you to start doing the little things to unroll it, and 30 years later, you find yourself standing in a place like this. It's been longer than 30 years. I'm lying. I'm not lying. I just forgot. That's a little bit of the problem with the SAM 6.0 upgrade. That's probably some of my problems. So don't just know your worth. You got to know your why. And let me give you the ultimate why. Are you fulfilling the ultimate why? You know what your ultimate why is? Your ultimate why is to love God completely and nobody else above him. That's your ultimate why. My ultimate why is not to pastor this church. My ultimate why is not to be the husband to Brenda Reifkogel and the father to my kids and my grandson. My ultimate why is Sam Reifkogel, you better love me completely over everything else in your life. And here's what I discovered. When your purpose is to love God completely, you will love others unconditionally and reveal God clearly. This week, when I was putting this message together, this is it. When your purpose is to love God completely, you will love others unconditionally and reveal God clearly. You won't have to go tell everybody, well, I'm a Christian. You don't have to announce the obvious. You can say you're a Christian, but if you're acting like a jerk, they're not coming to Jesus. Oh, I'm preaching better than that. No, really, and the Lord started dealing with me about that yesterday. I mean, he just started dealing with me about this. He said, do you really love me completely? Do you really love me completely? See, some people say, well, I love God, that's why I'm worshiping. Well, then I start thinking, maybe it's you love the music and the style of the song, but when it's not your style of song and it's lifting him up, you won't engage. In fact, you may go trash it once you get in the car. So what you really is, you really don't love God completely. You love the music completely, and he's a tag along. I was looking out the window yesterday praying, seeking God. Y'all went in on my little prayer time with the Lord a little bit? So because sometimes he'll just take your pastor to the woodshed. But he's really nice. He always hugs me after he's done. Says, I love you, Sam. I love you too. I think about all the wonderful things we do in this church, and we're going to keep doing them. How we build irresistible environments for teenagers and children to get them to Jesus Christ. And he says, but what if I stripped all this away? In fact, I've stripped it all away during this time. Nobody can use your nice little play centers. Nobody can use your beautiful life center. He says, maybe what I'm trying to do is, they say they come to this church because they love God, but could they be coming because they love the perks of this church? And why don't you let me deal with people to get me to love them, to love me completely? Maybe they love this church not because of me, but maybe they love it because of you. I like his preaching straight up. Well, you can't love my preaching more than him. Because then when you get ticked off at me, you won't leave because you're too busy listening to what he really wants from you instead of what pastor wants from you. So sometimes maybe you just love the idea of a guy's preaching style, his ability, has the latest revelation, and you're confusing that with your genuine love for God. Why go to this church? Because, boy, I tell you, they got that old-time religion. Maybe it's not love for God. Maybe you just love that old style. God bless you. You're all dismissed. You've been a great audience. God bless you. So let's strip some of those things away and find out if we really love God completely. Maybe I shouldn't be praying as much. Y'all don't look very happy right now. I don't know. But do you see what I'm talking about? See, his glory must be seen in you. This is why Jesus said, John 17:4, he says, I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. He says, the only reason I did what I was supposed to be doing is not because I wanted people to give me accolade thanks for healing me. Boy, you really feed us. That was a great meal and you fed 5,000. We'll be back next week. He said, Lord, the only reason I did and I did the skill sets and the things you gave me is I wanted one thing. I wanted you to be seen and glorified and loved far above and beyond me. So anything we do great for God is not you to get to love this church or to love Sam Reifko or love the music. We want you to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That when all those things are stripped away, you love God. See, when you fulfill his work, you fulfill your intended purpose for your life. And you cannot fulfill your God-given purpose apart from loving God completely. I'll say it again. You cannot fulfill your God-given purpose apart from loving God completely. You'll never be satisfied. Know your why. Know your why. Let me give you the last thing. Coming in for a landing. I promise. It gets better. You need to know your worth. You need to know your why. And you really need to know what God wants. What does he really want? Let's look at this real quick. Jesus' words, Matthew 6:33. You ready for this? Jesus said it. Pastor Sam didn't say it. So you got to blame Jesus. Matthew 6:33 said, seek. Say that word for me, the next word. First. What does God want? Seek first God's kingdom, his kingdom, and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. See, most of us are not fully experiencing and living out our destinies. You know why? Because he's really not first. He's not first. Now he's in, for a lot of Christians, he's in the vicinity, but he's not first. And we can confuse our love for those certain things, the love for fellowship, the love for people, and mistake them for loving God completely. He's in the vicinity. See, he's on the list. Jesus, God, in his kingdom and his purpose is on the list to glorify him, to love him. It's on the list, but it's not the first one on the list. And I don't know what it is, but the Holy Spirit keeps driving this in the last two series, that he's got to be first, total and complete, and everything gets stripped away. It's kind of nice there were no basketball, no football, no sports. It's kind of nice. Because I think those got more time than God did. Now if only the televisions would go out, then all of us would be better, wouldn't we? So here's the deal. It's him first. Here, let me just say this. You were not created for you. You were created for him. Let some few people on a little revelation here. You ready for this? The Bible doesn't begin. The first words out of the Bible doesn't begin with, in the beginning, you. Just FYI. It doesn't say, in the beginning, Sam. In the beginning, you. The word of God starts out with, in the beginning, God. All right, I'm closing with this verse of scripture. Colossians 1:16. Ready? Look at this. Apostle Paul through the Holy Spirit says, by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. Now watch this. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now I have a question for you. Or maybe you have a question. Pastor, why are things unraveling in my life? It's just unraveling. I don't understand. My marriage is unraveling. My finances are unraveling. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I'm just unraveling. I don't know. I'm unraveling. I don't know what to do. I don't know who I don't even know who I am. I'm unraveling. Verse 17 tells us something here. Verse 17 tells us that God is before all things. So let me give you another word for before. It would be the worst. It'd be the first. The word before really means first. It means God is first in everything. Now watch this. When God is positioned first in your life, then and only then can the rest of verse 17 be done. Because once he is first, he holds all things together. Like this couple, when they put God first in the testimony, you can lose 50% of your income in one day. Tell the bonuses are gone, but they're not unraveling. They're not unraveling because their job and their career and their money wasn't first. God, you are first. And when he's first, you're not sitting there going, oh, we're going to go bankrupt. Oh, we're going to go under. What are we going to do? He's not doing that. Because when God is first, then and only then can he hold the whole thing together. You are watching a world come unhinged over a virus. You are watching people today who do not know how to treat human life as sacred and holy become unhinged. Why? Because when you don't put God first, you fall apart. You're a wreck. So if you're unraveling, if life is falling apart, if you find yourself void of peace or even a lack of purpose, you shouldn't lose your purpose 91 years of age until you take that last breath in. Your purpose is alive and well. Are you having an unraveling of security? What is it for you? Ask yourself, if it's unraveling, then ask yourself, young man. Ask yourself, young lady. Ask yourself, senior citizen. Ask yourself, if it's unraveling, ask yourself, what position is God really in my life? That's the question. Not ask why it's unraveling. Ask what position is he really in? And when you get him first, he'll start working things all together for the good. Yes, he will. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. If Satan finds out that you know you're a masterpiece and God's working this and he's like a poem, and maybe he's scratching things out, he's putting some commas and some exclamation points. Boy, I tell you, Satan doesn't want you to know you're a masterpiece. He doesn't want to know you're rare and you're valuable. He doesn't want you to know this. He doesn't want you to know that you are divinely ordered by God. He doesn't want you to know this because the moment you do, the moment you figure this out, the moment you begin to realize I am worth God to God, I know my worth, when you start figuring this out, you're going to view yourself a whole different way. I'm telling you, you'll view yourself a whole different way. People can walk out on you. You view yourself a whole different way. People can treat you poorly, treat you bad, but it doesn't change who you are. You view yourself and your life so differently. And you start walking differently. You start talking differently. You start planning your life differently. You start dreaming differently. You start treating other people differently. You start treating yourself differently. You start acting differently because you're realizing, wait a minute, I am not a dumping ground for Satan. I am the creative genius of God who divinely ordered my life. Wow. Comes alive in you. Comes alive in you. How many of you believe this to be true? It's to be true. Wow. Man, I wouldn't want to build a house. Just some guy says, I'll figure it out. The The divine designer created you. The divine designer died for you. The divine designer said, I've got a purpose for you. Don't forfeit it by running from the divine designer, God Almighty. Wow. But boy, when you run to him, how many of you know, he holds all things together. No matter what's falling apart, he holds all things together. Amen.